everyone. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territories. My name is Amy. I'm with today.
I'm Aiden.
And I'm Ante.
All right. So we are all part of UBC Improv. We're a club on campus that we perform improv on stage, but now we're going to do it on the radio.
For you. Just for you. Whoever's listening, this is yours. Take it. Remember it.
Exactly. It's for no one else but you. So we perform shows. We have it. We have shows. We had one tonight. You missed it. That's okay. We'll have another one on November 30th. Yay. That will be our final show of the semester. It'll be a big deal.
You got a big 2 weeks to prepare for that one.
Yeah. Build up the courage. I don't know. Today we're going to improvise on the radio. How are we going to improvise on the radio, you may ask? Well, we're going to improvise an entirely fake radio show.
Whoa.
Crazy, right? So we're going to get a suggestion of a genre, something like that. And then we are going to just pretend we're a different radio show, and you'll go along with it. Think of some suggestions. We're going to throw some stuff out of just genres that we like. I don't know. Ante, Aiden, throw some stuff out.
I would describe myself as a fan of noir.
Oh. You know,
like, she walked in, legs up to here. And
yeah.
For those who can't see me, I was going to do the thing where, you know, you like put your hand way up in the air, but
Radio is not a visual medium.
Yeah.
Do we have a genre, I guess? We're gonna get into that. See you on the fake radio show. Hello, folks, and welcome to the Gumshoe Hour.
Yes.
My name, Ricky Hotshot.
And I am Paul Paulson.
Now, me and Paul, we run a detective agency, but also, in our free time, we like to solve crime on the radio. We have a very special guest with us today.
Oh, hello, my name is Freddie Van Fredderson.
Mm.
Freddie Van Fredderson is a key witness in many crimes. It's actually quite suspicious, but he guarantees that he has all the good hints and clues for us to follow.
Yes, I own a pet shop, and my parents, they see everything. My shop is right on the main street, and the parents, they tell me that Mrs. Patterson has recently been seen reading the newspaper, but not finishing her Sudoku.
Oh, unusual for Patterson.
Exactly.
That could be a clue to a crime that has not happened yet, but maybe it will.
Pre-planning stages. She doesn't have enough time for the Sudoku. Come on, Hotshot. You should know this.
You're right. My partner, Paul, he's so smart. He has so many years in the detective business, and I'm new, I'm flashy, I'm hot, but I don't have the experience yet. But don't worry, I'll get there.
One day you'll be grizzled and old like me. Then you'll see.
And then I'll have my own little hotshot rookie to mentor.
Oh, that would be ideal.
That would be ideal. I aim to be you. I very much respect you, Paul.
Ah, thank you, Hotshot.
We should stop talking about ourselves. We should start talking about the cases.
Yes.
So, first case on hand today is that we have found a toe.
Just a pinky toe, yes.
Just a pinky toe. It's quite disturbing. Honestly, I thought we were going to have more flashy Hollywood cases, but no, it was a toe.
Bit of a, you know, unconventional thing.
Yes, and it hit very close to home. It was right in the alleyway, pardon me, behind where we record this lovely radio show. And, yeah, quite frankly, I'm at a loss, all right? I got no other leads.
So would you say that you guys are stumped on this case, or would you guys say that you guys are stubbed on this case?
Well, either way, I think something dangerous is afoot. Come on,
yeah.
Rookie, where's your pun?
Toes are bad puns. No.
Oh, toes.
All right.
Well, Freddie, we were going to ask you, do you have any sort of leads that could help us with this new case?
Well, actually, in my pet store, I have a bunch of ferrets, and these ferrets are often known to take the toes from people, but I'm sure none of my ferrets are responsible, but I will talk to them, and I'll come back in a few minutes and tell you guys what I've discovered.
Of course. In the meantime, we should work on one of our segments that we always do.
Yes, of course. We rate top LA crimes. Mm. We love to rate which crimes were good, which ones were not good, all depending on how much they managed to evade the police.
Now, Hotshot, I'm thinking we should just do the ones from the past month, because our listeners will have known the ones that we love from the past year or so already.
Yes, we do talk about it a lot. So past month, we have the Menendez Friar incident.
A very good one. You're putting that as number one?
I'm going to put it as number three.
Ooh.
We'll build up to number one.
All right.
Now, for those who forgot about the Menendez Friar case, someone fried up some money. And apparently it was just a really bad... They didn't know what to do. They were a criminal who had made a lot of extra money. And
yes, made, as in, like, counterfeited?
Counterfeited.
Just to clarify.
And they knew the feds were coming in on them. And so they fried all their money. I've seen some dumb criminals in my day, but my God, not one as dumb as this one. Why would he fry the money? It's useless after it's been fried. Can't even eat the money when it's been fried.
And the worst part was, the cops on duty saw him do it. So it's not like, you know, he had a viable alibi.
Yeah, they just, it was pretty pathetic, but I enjoy how easily he got caught, It's my number three.
Good number three. I'd like to present number two, the seven foot slanderer. Very tall man, put graffiti almost on every cop shop down here in Brooklyn.
Yeah, Brooklyn, that lovely neighborhood in Los Angeles. I love it, and. And, of course, our number one case would have to be...
Wait. I'm back now. Can I present the number one case that I think is a... I love this segment.
Go ahead, Freddie.
The number one case, I think, in L.A. in the last month, the most mysterious crime that's captivated the public's attention has got to be the Great Gummy Bear Robbery. Don't you guys agree?
The Great Gummy Bear Robbery.
The Great Gummy Bear Robbery. Freddie, how could I forget?
Why aren't you a detective with us?
Well, you know, the pets really are more of my calling. I did look into the path of Ace Ventura, pet detective, but I didn't qualify. My grades, you know, didn't really...
Ace Ventura, that local legend of 1950s L.A. crime.
Pour one out for that man, if you're listening at a bar, please.
Or don't. Don't get the floor messy. Well, we have to go to an ad break, but we'll be back soon, and hopefully Freddie will give us some more leads.
Yeah, check it out. I found that canned ham, and I put it in a pot of boiling water, and guess what I'm calling it?
Soup?
Hot ham water.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, nourishing radio.
It's so watery, and yet there's a smack of ham to it.
You're back, listening to the Gumshoe Hour. We have another guest in since Freddie, unfortunately. He had to go. His ferrets, well, it turned out that they were taking people's toes.
Damn long rats. I knew they couldn't be trusted.
They sure are. You got good instinct there, Paul.
Thanks, Hotshot.
He has to go talk to them.
But the stern talking to, I should hope.
Oh, I think he will. We can trust Freddie. But we have another guest.
You love this guest, don't you?
Paul, why don't you introduce them?
Here today we have Chief John Johnson of the Brooklyn Department of the L.A. Police.
Hello, you two. It's fantastic to be on your show today. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Hello. John.
How are the cases going outside the PI business?
Well, you know, when you're not working as a PI for personal glory, sometimes there's a lot of slogging, a lot of, low-key cases. Not every day you have your gummy bear thieves or your friar monies. You know, sometimes it's just an old lady who got lost due to her dementia. But those are just as important here in the force.
Equal rights for equal cases, I see.
Well, you know, you could be taking it easy if you had me working on those cases.
Hotshot is a wonderful detective.
I am.
I mean, then her name wouldn't be quite correct.
Ricky Hotshot? Please explain yourself, Johnson. Chief Johnson?
Well, Hotshot never takes things easy, and that's why I've had to reject his case file, or his application several times from the force.
Of course. Hotshot, I didn't know that you were rejected from the force. I thought you just had a hankering. You were waiting, you know, the 4 to 6 weeks for the mail to come back.
No, I was waiting for my acceptance letter, but it didn't come. It was a rejection letter. But I'm over it. I'm doing great. I'm doing private detective stuff with you, and I'm not upset about it. You know, I would love to wear a uniform, but instead I have my nice trench coat and my $30 suit, and that's all I can really ask for, really, isn't it?
I suppose so. At $30 suit? You're overdressing a little bit. What if that gets ripped?
Well, you know what? People, civilians, they trust us in these nice suits. So I want to be trusted when I'm interrogating the suspects, which I really do great. John, if you even considered me, you would have seen I would be better than a beat cop. I could be a detective.
Oh, what do you think is your greatest interrogating skill?
Well, I can reel them in and make them really like me, and then I go pow, and I get them on the charge of murder, theft, or whatever you need.
It sounds from your language like you might be better suited to fishing.
Oh, John! Oh, you are always so sly, aren't you, John?
Chief Johnson, maybe you would better understand Hotshot's abilities if we were to do a little bit of a role play and you could see those abilities in action.
I would love to see some of these abilities.
All right, Hotshot. I'm a criminal. I'm a dangerous criminal. How are you going to interrogate me now that you've caught me and you need to prove yourself?
Well, I'll be nice guy. I'll do good cop, bad cop, but it's one person, so I start off as a good cop.
All righty, let's see it. I'll pretend I'm sitting. Let me give you a bit of a scenario here.
Okay.
I'm going to change my voice. Please don't be alarmed.
Of course.
Yo. Why you got me in here, huh?
Well, you were caught stealing from that jewelry store, and hey, buddy, I get it. Some nice diamonds in there, all right? I understand. They're pretty. They're sparkly. You want to grab them. I get it.
I've walked by that jewelry shop every day, but I've never taken a diamond. Bold of you to assume I've taken a diamond.
Well, you were caught on the old-timey film cameras. Mm. We took the film out. We developed it, and we saw it was you stealing from them. Now, I get it, but, you know, if you just admit... Maybe I can make things easy for you. I can give you a nice time in jail. I can maybe even just get you community service. You just have to pick up garbage on the side of the highway.
Well, I don't know why I'd admit something that I've never done before.
Well,
stealing,
you know,
diamonds.
If you admit it, maybe I can make this whole thing go away.
Tell me more.
Well, you know.
Just hypothetically.
Hypothetically, if you did steal some diamonds, but, you know, we found the diamonds on some more diamonds with your friend. Well, then, maybe you're rat on them. And you get no jail time.
So you want me to be a snitch?
Yes. Yeah, that is what I'm asking, and I don't understand why you'd oppose to it.
You know what they say about snitches?
I don't. I think snitches are good, honorable people.
Hotshot, I'm going to break character here for a minute. Chief, if you wouldn't mind.
By all means. Well, you know, these people don't like to snitch, okay? That's,
really?
That's our entire job, is trying to get them to snitch, but they just don't do it. They do say in the streets that snitches really suck.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the saying is snitches really suck. Well, which is what I would have built up to in my character, but...
That really surprises me, because I snitched on a lot of kids in elementary school, and, oh, I had no friends. That makes so much sense now. You're right!
The chief and I, nodding at each other, seem to agree.
Yes, I could really tell from your resume, when you told me that one of your greatest skills was reporting others' misdoings, that would just not be allowed in a fraternal organization that relies on the good brotherhood of man in the police force.
You see, when I used to work on the police force, we did a lot of bad stuff. It's just sort of the nature of the police.
Wait, Paul, you're saying that you used to do bad stuff as a policeman? As a harbinger of justice?
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes the donut shops nearby would be more than willing to give us free donuts for protecting the city around them. Wink, wink.
You didn't pay? You didn't pay for the donuts?
They were gifts, Hotshot. If you understand my meaning.
Oh.
Wink, wink.
Oh, like for your birthday. Got it. Understood.
Except every day, Monday through Friday, was my birthday.
And when you're on the force, every day does feel like your birthday.
That you can be born once. There's no way you have more than one birthday.
Hotshot, I feel like you're missing the point.
I feel like I am too.
The point is, we would threaten is a strong word, but coerce the businesses into giving us donuts, and they were more than happy to do so because we kept the criminals out of their safes and their cash registers.
What if?
And their pockets.
But by not buying a donut, you're basically stealing money from their pockets. So aren't you a criminal now, too?
And their pastry cases.
You're in the pastry case. Paul, I don't want to do this, but I may have to call 911 on you.
The chief of police is right here. If he wanted to, he could arrest me.
I very easily could, but I won't because we go way back, Paul Paulson. I remember going to many donut shops with you and enjoying fine delicacies such as the Boston Cream Donut.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
In this area of Brooklyn, Boston Cream is surprisingly delicious and easy to find.
Brooklyn, L.A. is known for their Boston Cream Donuts. Mr. Hotshot, perhaps we could do another role-playing exercise where this time I'm a shopkeeper. And you try to, I almost said extort, but of course we mean help. Help me for protection by making me give you things.
Sounds sketchy, but I'll try.
This will really help your job opportunity with the force.
Yes.
That which will be good for you, and then, you know, I will be able to retire again with all of the money from this beautiful agency.
Okay. I'm going to be a local butcher, okay? Do not be alarmed. I'm going to change my voice. I'm still the same person.
Understood.
It's just a role play.
Understood.
Okay. Hello. Welcome to my butcher's shop, sir. How can I help you?
Hello, ma'am. I'm a police officer, as you may see.
I can see that from your big shiny badge and that large scary gun.
Well, thank you. I try not to use the gun, you know, because only when my life is in danger, you know how it goes. But I was wondering,
Yes?
Could I get some ham?
Yes. Would you like the honey glazed or the Black Forest?
Ooh. Black Forest.
Okay, that'll be $5, sir.
Here's $5.
Now, Hotshot.
I think I did that correctly. I gave her $5 because she asked for $5.
But Hotshot, you could have also outlined the fact that you protect your neighborhood from criminals.
Well, that's my job, protect and serve.
Yes, and don't we all deserve a bonus for protecting and serving?
Well, we get those during Christmas time sometimes.
Not this year. The force hasn't been doing too well, so Christmas bonuses have had to be halted.
However, our private investigations have been doing very well, Hotshot. I will be sure to give you a large bonus.
Oh, yahoo! Well,
please stay with me, Hotshot.
Of course, I'll stay at the detective agency, because guess what? I don't want to be a cop. I think they're junk, and I am going to do much better as a private detective.
You can't believe how glad I am to hear that, Hotshot. So touching.
Of course.
I am also very glad to hear this, because I do not want another one of your resumes on my desk. I never want to see it again.
No guarantees there, Chief. I'll probably be sending in some more. You know, we have to go to a music break. We get some some money from jazz artists.
Please, please enjoy this selection of jazz.
Yes. Chief Johnson will be joining us after the break again, however. Welcome back. You're listening to the Gumshoe Hour, brought to you by UBC Improv. And so we're here. My name is Ricky Hotshot, as always.
And I'm Paul Paulson, the veteran of our PI agency.
And I am John Johnson, the lieutenant, sergeant, chief, whatever you prefer, I suppose, of the Brooklyn precinct here in L.A.
Chief Johnson, you're rather modest. You have been the chief, the full chief, for quite a while now.
I have. It's a lot of responsibility. Sometimes I like to push that out of my head so that it doesn't keep me awake at night.
Well, you're doing okay.
I think what the Hotshot's trying to say is you'd be doing better if you accepted his myriad resumes.
Yes, I think I'd actually be doing worse. Hotshot gives me a migraine with his incessant prattling and do-goodedness.
It was so nice that you offered to join us on our gumshoe hour then, you know, for such a hater of Hotshot.
It was mostly for you, Paul, and all of our time we spent together racketeering donut shops. Oh, sorry, helping donut shops.
Johnson, you're too kind to me.
Well, whatever, guys. We're going to move on to a segment, real segment.
Oh, of course.
Our top threes. It seems like a continuation of the other segment, but it's a bit shorter. We're going to talk about some top three detective-related stuff. Starting out with our top three criminals. Paul, do you want to start?
I'll start, yes. We're doing top three of all time?
Yes, all time.
Just to confirm, do you want three from me? Or just one, and then we'll build up all together?
One. Just give one.
Ooh, one. That makes it a little tougher. Well, Hotshot, I must say, I think my favorite criminal of all time has to be the High Street Mugger.
Ah, the High Street Mugger. How could we forget?
It was to me wild that he managed to mug so many people on High Street before he was caught. When he was caught by us, I might mention.
Yeah, we did do that. That was us. Chief Johnson.
The police, thank you, Chief Johnson, threw a parade in our honor because there were just so many muggings.
We really appreciated your the both of yours work catching that mugger. We really have a blind spot for muggers. I don't know why. It's just something I'm going to need to work on.
There's a lot of old people wandering around with dementia that need help, Chief Johnson, and we respect your work with that.
Sure. Well, my top criminal would have to be Lizzie Toulanes. She was known for driving in the middle of the road. She was just a housewife, actually. She was driving in the middle of the road, and she caused a lot of havoc. Weirdly enough, caused no damage. She was very good at driving in the middle of the road between the two lanes, going opposite directions.
It was rather impressive.
Yes. I'm amazed by her. I'm a big fan, I would say. And, you know, she's not the worst criminal. Yes, she had a penchant for thrills and speed and would like to, you know, drive in the middle of the road and, you know, cause everyone to panic and say, what the heck? Because there's someone driving in the middle of the road. But she didn't do any city damage. And I respect that.
Yes, well, my favorite criminal, many people are more familiar with the person who followed him, Billy the Kid, but Billy the Adult was quite the criminal. Evaded taxes for 50 years.
Wild. Wow. How did you catch him, if you don't mind me asking? I was already working at the PI agency.
Of course. That was really the case that put me onto the radar. You can only evade taxes for so long because the IRA has innumerable resources, and I, of course, called them up and asked for some of said resources, and they gave them to me. And actually, what really gave it in was he was in a deli, a local deli here in Brooklyn, L.A., and they were having a contest, and he left his address in one of those drop-in boxes. And I frequent that deli, and that's how we got him.
Earlier, we were talking about dumb criminals, but that might just take the cake for me, Hotshot. Not so much compared to that guy who fried the money.
It's definitely comparable.
Good try, Hotshot.
I'm still learning. I'm 20 years young.
Ain't that the truth?
Well, we have another top three on our list. Paul, if you want to introduce this top three.
Yes, this will be top three donuts. I will go first. As an ex-cop, I am very familiar with donuts. And as you heard, Chief Johnson and I have been helping.
Helping, of course.
Donut shops course. Across Brooklyn, L.A. for many years now. But nothing to me beats the old pink frosted donut with some sprinkles on it. It's perfect in every way, especially from the Lindsay's shop downtown. They do a remarkably cakey donut, and I cannot profess my love for cakey donuts in just this short hour that we have on the Gumshoe Hour.
Paul, I know you have talked my ear off about these cakey donuts.
Cakey donuts would be my life if I were not a PI.
I understand that, and you'd have to stop calling me at night to talk about them, please.
Must I?
Well, I would also like to put forth a donut from Lindsay's. Wonderful, wonderful establishment here. And their cakey donuts get a lot of compliments, but I also think their fluffy, almost angelic donuts deserve just as much credit. I am a big fan of their honey cruller.
Ooh. It's hard to beat a good honey cruller for somebody who does not profess their love for cakey donuts enough. If I were not a cakey donut lover, I would... to enjoy the honey cruller as much as you do, Chief Johnson.
Now, these are both good donuts, but listen, I'm a serious man. I don't have that much time. I like a plain old-fashioned.
Hotshot, you're not that mysterious, and an old-fashioned is maybe the least mysterious choice you could go for.
I would have guessed that he would have preferred an old-fashioned, actually.
I'm so sorry to call you out like this on the live radio.
I don't have time for your fancy sugars and creams and glazes. Plain old-fashioned. Have black coffee, so bitter that it actually hurts, and plain old-fashioned, and get me on the case, dang it.
All right, Hotshot. We get it. Chief, did you come prepared with a top three?
I did come prepared with a top three. I would like to discuss our top three favorite date locations in Brooklyn, L.A.
Taking it away from the normal cop talk, I like it.
Of course, personal. I would like to get to know, well, just you, Paul, a little bit better.
But for the sake of completion, we will also talk to Hotshot.
Of course. Well, it wouldn't be a top three without Hotshot.
Yeah, it wouldn't.
All right, Chief, start her off. What's your favorite date location in Brooklyn?
Ooh, well, my wife, before she was murdered by a criminal, and I would quite often walk down to a nice, beautiful park overlooking the ocean. And there's just this one bench that was, you know how on most park benches there's that little dedicatory plaque, and it was dedicated to some man, Mason Crimmins, and I have no idea who that is, but we'd sit on that bench once or twice a week, and we'd just talk to each other, and oh, how I long for those tender, intimate moments.
That's Brooklyn Bridge Park you're talking about, right?
Yes, that's the Brooklyn Bridge Park here in L.A.
Mason Crimmins. Good man. I'm surprised you don't know who he is, actually.
Oh, do you know Mason Crimmins?
I knew Mason Crimmins.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He was a spectacular jazz musician. Played the saxophone like no other.
Which saxophone?
Oh, the alto saxophone.
Of course. Beautiful.
Not the best. I was a tenor player myself. But he was the best at soloing on that alto. Hotshot, where's your favorite date location?
Well, I don't go on many dates. I'm very dedicated to my job. But if I were to go on a date, I would probably take them up to the roof of my apartment building where I keep pigeons.
Now, do you live in Brooklyn, L.A.?
Yes.
Oh, see, I had you pegged for a Hollywood man.
No, I have no patience for the glitz and glamour of Hollywood. The theater, the stars, no thanks. I'll solve crimes all day instead of wasting my time with those silly old moving pictures.
Very fair, very fair.
But I will waste my time with pigeons. I love those guys. And I hope someday someone will love them too and would like to go up to the roof of my apartment and check out the pigeons, feed them, maybe stroke their little heads.
Hotshot, you know you're allowed to take days off for dates. We, you and I are the only two working at this PI agency, and we don't have to be working every day. You'll notice that on Saturdays and Sundays, I am not in the office.
So that's where you are.
Yes.
Not in the. I thought you were hiding from me in the office. I thought it was your little weekend, weekend prank. But I've never found you, so that does make sense that you are not in the office.
Well, there are days that I do that.
Oh,
but
okay.
But most of the time, I have other things to do, like go to my favorite date location.
Which is?
My favorite date location is the Brooklyn Record Shop, as they have a listening booth with two pairs of headphones. So you can listen to any sort of jazz with your significant other, or perhaps for a first date. Now, the best part about the Brooklyn Record Shop is they allow food in the listening booths. So you can listen to a jazz record with a cakey donut from Lindsay's. And I could not describe a more perfect date for me. Yeah, that's about where that ends. I actually have a date scheduled just for that, so I'm sorry if you're listening, Shirley. I've revealed our surprise date location. I hope you enjoy.
You have a date coming up. Would you mind talking about where you met, or?
Well, I can, but I believe we have to take a short ad break. Is that right, Hotshot?
Yes, it is correct. You can probably tell us about the date while we're on the break, or after. Your choice.
Sounds good, Hotshot.
You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territories of the Coast Salish and Musqueam people. And you're listening to 24 Hours of Student Power, our 24-hour block of exclusively student content.
So anyways, that's how my love for jazz music and the interest in the trombone section of the jazz music got me a date with Shirley.
All right. Well, welcome back to the Gumshoe Hour. That was Paul talking about his love life. Good for him.
Thanks, Hotshot. I know that you're maybe a little bit jealous, but do keep in mind, she's a little old for you, and there's no need for you to be jealous. I don't think she'd date so young.
Okay. Was that a compliment? I don't know.
It was. You can get many young women, Hotshot.
I'll try. Anyway... So that was the Gumshoe Hour. We're closing our show now. As always, we're going to send a call out to you, our audience. If you have any tips, call us at 236-4545. Telephone numbers are short.
It's a real Brooklyn telephone number, we promise.
Yeah, we only need that many 7 digits because that's how telephone numbers work. There aren't that many. So, to really help out with leads, we're going to ask, you know, Chief Johnson, you are a bit of my enemy, but do you need help with any cases? We're here to help. That's what our radio show is about. Our audience can send in tips and leads if you need them.
Yes, of course. Well, we are dealing with a bit of a serial flasher recently. The 1950s fashion styles of the time, including these long trench coats, are really giving way to a lot of flashings, but this particular one just must be so fleet of foot, we can't catch him. So if you know about a 5'10" Caucasian male flashing people on the Sunset Strip, please let us know. Any information is helpful.
Now, Sunset's a little bit out of Brooklyn, more of a Hollywood location, but I'm sure that some of our listeners do live outside of Brooklyn, and thus they will be able to hit you up with those Hollywood tips. For Sunset.
Of course. And Paul, anything we're working on?
Right now, we are looking for yet again another strangler. This time, near the Brooklyn Bridge Park, actually, near the Mason Crimmins bench, we found a few strangled bodies. Please, if you have any tips regarding a strangler near the Mason Crimmins bench, we could use your help. That's 236-4545.
Absolutely. And this one isn't so much a crime, but if you do have tips on it, I would appreciate it very much. Someone keeps buying all the old-fashioned donuts before I go in the morning. So, yeah, please don't. And if you see someone doing that, tell them to stop.
Hotshot, where are you going for these donuts?
Going to Tim's. It's a rival of Lindsay's, and it's not as successful as Lindsay's.
Hotshot, have you considered coming with me in the mornings to Lindsay's? They do make old-fashioned donuts, and they are remarkably cakey.
Well, If you're inviting me, I didn't know that you wanted to hang out with me outside of work, but...
Well, it's just for about 30 minutes before. I could definitely spare 30 minutes. Contrary to how much I've been kicking your ass with the chief, I do like you, and I do enjoy your presence, Hotshot.
Oh. Gee, Paul, that means a lot to me. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Of course. We are partners.
Of course.
Never forget.
Of course, yes. Partners.
Partners.
Well, that's it for the Gumshoe Hour. As always, give us some tips and leads, and we'll see you around town. Wow. That was cool.
Boy, was it. I really had a good time listening to Paul Paulson, Ricky Hotshot,
Freddie Frederson,
and Chief John Johnson.
Yeah, we're UBC Improv, by the way, in case you couldn't tell. We're back. We're out of character.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Whew.
Yeah. I'm Amy. I'm here with Aiden.
Yeah, that's me.
And Brayden. That
would be me.
Kind of got introduced in the somewhere around the middle there, maybe the first quarter.
Yeah. So, fun behind the scenes peek. We recorded this on two separate days, and so we had to switch around some people.
Wowee. I bet you were wondering why Paul Paulson's voice changed so much.
Yeah, you're like, why is this so inconsistent? That's why.
No excuse for me. My voice just changed because I'm a horrible voice actor, so.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah, we hope you all enjoyed. That was a wild ride for us. But if you want to see UBC Improv in person, not just the three of us, or the four of us, as it was, all of us.
There's 40 of us?
There's 40 of us. We can't fit all that into the studio. Please.
There's two microphones in the studio, and I cannot imagine trying to get 20 people sharing the same microphone.
Oh, no, no. So, yeah, our next show will be November 30th. It's our Christmas show, holiday show. Not Christmas, holiday, end of the semester show. Yeah, it will be all 40 of us performing about, and it'll be really fun. A Facebook event will go up on Wednesday, and follow social media at UBC Improv on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We'll be sending you all the cool updates about that.
Amy, I've heard these shows can get quite popular. If I was really worried about reserving a space, can I buy a ticket online or something like that?
Can you? Yes, you can. So yeah, we sell tickets online for $5. They'll be, when we put up the event, the link will be in the event page, so click on that. Get them soon. They usually sell out a few days before the show happens. So, yeah, make sure you get them early. And if you don't get them, we will be selling tickets at the door for $4. But make sure you get there early because it does get very, very busy. And you should line up early to get a good seat, especially since it's our end of semester show. Last show of 2018, it'll be quite poppin', as they say.
Lots of people celebrating their last day of class.
Yeah, it's true. It is. But not last day of work, because we got exams.
Wah, wah.
We're relatable. Again, thanks for listening. Come see our shows. Yeah. We'll see you.
Hopefully we'll see you guys at the show. Thanks for listening.